person who had the power to execute Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, when we go back and read the Gospels, Pilate did that against his better judgment. When you read the account three times, Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Three times. You need three witnesses in the Bible, two to three witnesses. Three times Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man," and yet he ends up ordering this crucifixion. But there's an even broader context of the Gospels. That was the Jewish authorities, the chief priests, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, the religious people. Peter says at Pentecost, they knew what they were doing, and he said they were the ones who said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." He said, "You by wicked hands have crucified the Son of Glory." So the finger is pointing at the Jews as well. They wanted to kill Jesus. They plotted to kill Jesus for over a year, looking for ways to trap him, to get him, and to bring him before the authorities. And of course, they were the ones that very morning when Pilate said, "What shall I do with this man?" And they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And all the crowd starts crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." So they too would have been included in that when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." And what were they doing? That's exactly what they were doing. It says they were crucifying Jesus. We studied it here in this passage, though we've read through the account once again. That was an enormously significant event because Jesus said that's the very reason he came into the world, to go to the cross to be crucified. This is the very event that Jesus referred to over and over again throughout his ministry. He kept saying to his disciples, "You don't realize the Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be put to death." There's another group in there as well that we didn't touch on, and their names are not actually written in this part of the Bible, but when we read Isaiah 53, it says, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We too are a part of that because it was our sins that were laid upon Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, crucifixion was one of the greatest, most painful ways of suffering that's ever been invented. The flogging beforehand was standard procedure as Jesus went through it. It was to help hasten death on the cross. Suffering on the cross was intense. Someone wrote at that time, "You died 1,000 deaths when you were on the cross. You were exposed to the weather." I mean, you know, sometimes we think of nice hot days in April in Palestine. You could be crucified in December, and there's snow up there sometimes in Palestine. You could be on the cross in freezing weather. You could be there when there's a storm and rain and everything else. There would be exposure to the animals. You ever stop and think, you know how it is, you know, you hate it when flies, it seems like every time I want to start to pull some weight or something, the flies have to come. You know, so, you know, they're always in the way. But when you're on a cross, you can't swat the flies away. You can't do anything to get them away. And the flies would be there, and you know the fly getting on the eye and starting to get in there around your eyes and stuff. Wouldn't that be horrible? But not only that, we're told that in those days too, the buzzards, the ravens, the vultures would come, and they would sit, and they would try to pluck out the person's eyes. They would try to pick out their eyes when they're on the cross. And again, no hands to try to be able to move them away, because your hands are on the cross, nailed there to the cross. There would be severe swelling of your wounds where the nails pierced through the body, unbearable pain from torn tendons, throbbing headache, nausea, burning thirst. And here's the thing we often forget. Usually, it took 3 days to die on a cross. That was the average. A few people actually made it to 6 or 7 days. So, you know, we often think of the quick 6 hours of that Friday afternoon. That's why they broke the other men's legs. Because once your legs are broken, you can't hold your weight up. And then you suffocate because of the way you're hanging with nothing there. Nothing to take the pressure off the chest as your arms are outstretched and the weight of your body now starts to fall. But Jesus willingly gave up his spirit, we're told. He laid down his life. So crucifixion was one of the grossest, was reserved for the grossest of criminals. Jesus was crucified with criminals, we're told in the account. They crucified him with criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And multiple crucifixions were common amongst Romans. When I was a kid, there was a movie called Spartacus. Maybe some of you have seen it or heard the story. He was a slave. He led a slave rebellion. And finally they lost. I mean, they had some victories against Romans. Finally they lost, and the Romans crucified thousands of them at one time, just cross after cross after cross down the road leading back to Rome. That's what the Romans were good at, crucifixions. Isaiah 53 said that he would be numbered with the transgressors. And so we see the fulfillment of prophecy in the crucifixion. The crucifixion involved the greatest of humiliation because you were a public spectacle to everybody. Made an example. And if you were there on a cross, people immediately thought, that guy must have really done something wrong. You're the target of humiliation because, notice, it says in the gospel records, the rulers sneered at him. Jesus is hanging on a cross. They're still not satisfied, and so now they're throwing verbal abuse at Jesus on the cross. They challenge his works. You saved others. Can you save yourself? They challenge his words. If you are the Christ, as you claim, come down from the cross. They challenge his powers. Let him save himself. And they actually challenge his person. If he is the chosen one of God, let him come down. This was coming from the leadership of God's chosen people. The chief priests, the elders of the people, the teachers of the law. And you know, when John wrote his gospel, he said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And what's even worse is to think the soldiers themselves are mocking him. You'd say, what did Jesus ever do to these soldiers? And yet, can't you see it? Everybody else is mocking him, so they just kind of join in on the party. We'll make our mockery of him as well. And even one of the criminals hurls insults at him. It shows the hardness of a wicked man's heart, even in that condition. And he's only repeating the words of the rulers and the soldiers. And so you see what's happening here. Jesus is going through the worst of humiliation and pain that we could even begin to imagine. And yet in the midst of that, what does Jesus do? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So what do we have here? Jesus' word of forgiveness, his first word, is for others, not himself. Who is Jesus thinking about when he's being crucified? He's thinking about others. What do most people do when they're being unjustly treated? What do most men do when their captors start to treat one of their mates abusively? They start to curse him and tell him to leave that guy alone, and they'll throw all kinds of abuse at the person because of what they're doing. Would not their first word most likely be a curse? And if they are bound and if they cannot defend themselves, they can certainly retaliate with words of damnation against those who are treating this way. Why are you dirty? You know, and you can fill in the blank. That's the way you would feel when you see this kind of injustice taking place. Think of those war scenes where the captured see their comrades mistreated. Don't they usually come forth with all sorts of curses and expletives upon their enemies? And when someone says a word that really cuts to yourself, to your person, what's the first response? Isn't it to retaliate, to want to get even? Think of those arguments, those fights. Those blues. Come up with a sharper cut. They've said something, you're going to come even deeper. So if I'm hurt, I'm going to get back and I'm going to get even. Well, then he calls her a so-and-so. And then she calls him a such-and-such. And finally, when he has her in tears, he's satisfied because he's won. He's won. Right? Wrong. He's really lost. In fact, both have lost. Yeah, but you hurt me. You betrayed me. You ignored me. You double-crossed me. You took advantage of me. You were insensitive to me. Have you or your spouse ever said, yeah, but you crucified me? Damn you. That's what Jesus could have said to those people. Cursed be you. That's what some people would say to others when they do them wrong, when they've been hurt. But what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It was Jesus thinking about others, not himself. You see, I think our biggest problem today, even today, is and always has been, and that is self. We've been sold the lie that we're the most important person in the world. And we have to do what's best for me. We hear that all the time. And so we follow that natural inclination to be self-protecting, self-righteous, self-assured. And you see the problem in each of those is self. Self. Selfishness. Self at the center of our lives rather than others. Jesus was the most important person in the world. He was God come in the flesh. And they crucified him. And he says, Father, forgive them. He's thinking of others, not himself. And so his word of forgiveness is really a word for others. A word for others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, God's forgiveness for our sins demands our forgiveness for others. And Jesus modeled it perfectly on the cross. And the message of Christianity through all the years has been that of forgiveness. The forgiveness of our sins and us forgiving those who have offended us and sinned against us. And so I would submit to you on this morning, this Good Friday morning, that when we think of Jesus' crucifixion, we remember that first word, the word of forgiveness. Jesus' crucifixion was for our forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Father, forgive them, but they do not know what they're doing. That's the message of Good Friday. That's the message of Christianity. And may that be the message of our lives as God's children.